Okay, how's the sound? Is that pretty good? Awesome. Alrighty. Well, thank you so much for being here on Easter, you guys. I'm so honored. Hi, Kate. I'm so honored that you'd be here to listen to me on this Resurrection Day. So I am going to talk about the self-inquiry dyad retreat that I just returned from. And I would like Dawn offered to play a song first. So take it away, Dawn!
I've been doing all that I can to hold it all together, piece by piece. To be braver than I could ever be. It's just not me. So be my healer, be my comfort, be my peace. 'Cause I can be broken, I can just not my home. I've been holding on so tightly to all the things that I think can satisfy my soul, but I'm letting go.
Now, thank you, Dawn. That was perfect. Loved it. So, I hope that I can convey, with the help of the Holy Spirit, how important this retreat was. I mean, I'll never be the same. I'm sure that all the participants feel the same way. We're changed forever. And this was such an intense, revealing, and remarkable process. So just to give you a little background of how the process actually worked, we had, Regina was there for the first day and a half to introduce the process to us. And it was facilitated by Anne Blanchard and our own Jacqueline Eckert. Oh, I see is here too. Yay! Hi, Jacqueline. So there were 6 participants, and it was a silent retreat. So except, of course, for functional talk, or when we were talking in our dyads, instructions from the facilitators and discussions, it was silent. So that kept you out of the person. That was the whole intention of having it be silent. Hi, Kate. was to keep you from being drawn back into being a person, because we're trying to drop that. That's the whole intention, was to drop the person, the personality, and everything that came up was for that intention. To drop the person. So they gave us an intention to keep during the process, which was, I want to have a direct and conscious experience of the truth of what I am. Hi, Ron. So that was the intention we kept during the whole week. And then they gave us a choice of 4 questions to keep as our contemplation question and to ask each other. And those 4 questions were, who am I? What am I? Who is here now? And what is here now? And I chose the what is here now. So when we sit across from each other, one person here, real close. I mean, like knees touching each other. And the person that's going to be talking looks at the person listening, and the person listening asks my question. So they would ask, what is here now? And the whole idea that was repeated over and over again is to invite anything, anything at all that wants to come up, invite that to come up, and then ask, can I be open to that? So you talk for 5 minutes, and the little bell goes off, and then you switch roles. So I'll ask that person their question, and she gets to talk for 5 minutes. And in the beginning, it was like, oh my gosh, those 5 minutes are taking forever. And then as soon as it started rolling, it was like, oh my God, already? I want to go on for longer. And that was part of the process, is you don't talk past your 5 minutes. You just let everything come up, come out, even thoughts, whatever comes up, comes out. And the process of actually releasing, speaking, giving voice to what comes up, takes the power out, gives it a release. And I could feel that towards the second or third day, this release all up through the center of me. It was just, it's an amazing process. I guess I should keep track of some of the talks too, the chat. Maybe Dawn, you can help me out if somebody says something I should know or puts a hand up. Thank you. Okay, so another thing to ask besides invite and open, go inside, pause, and ask, what is the most honest current experience in me right now? And then just wait for the answer. And I could feel the difference between thoughts would come up, and I just express whatever I was thinking, whatever was coming into my mind, and then pause and step back into silence and ask, what is here now? And whatever came up is what we said, what was shared. So there was 40 minutes total in each session. Each person spoke for 5 minutes, 4 times. And we had 8 to 10 sessions daily, but the facilitators balanced it so well with exercise, qigong, walking, videos, meditation, and also some reading and discussion. So I thought the movement was essential between sitting and just going so deep. You had to get out and move and out and being in nature. There was also no electronics allowed. We couldn't be on our phones, couldn't be on our computers. They encouraged us not to do that even in the evenings. No speaking when if people went home, and I was lucky because Jay's already been through this process, so he completely understood, completely supported me in that. Thank you, Jay. The retreat house atmosphere, too, was perfect for this. The house is quiet. The place is beautiful. We had delicious, healthy meals. Thank you, Cheryl. The facilitators just did a fabulous job of supporting, clarifying, holding the space safe for us. Being in a safe space was absolutely essential to be able to let anything that comes up out. And they did a fabulous job of making a safe space and encouraging from their own experiences with the dyad process. This enlightenment intensive that was created 50 years ago by Charles Brenner, 1968. And that is what both Jacqueline and Anne had done quite a bit of. So they were well versed in this process. So let me get to the, remember to invite whatever wants to come up for healing and then open for that. And the way I did open for that was quiet the mind, step back from the thinking, and just literally open my heart, just as wide as I could. Open my heart, be open to it, and then be quiet. And just receive what came up. The freedom of being able to speak with someone across from you who could not interrupt, was looking you right in the eyes. Their full intention was to be totally present and hear you. And one of the rules was to be kind of a neutral face, with the exception of that is if they laughed out loud. You can't hold that back. Laugh. That was absolutely allowed. And crying. We cried with each other. But otherwise, just stay neutral. And the reason for that I understand is, again, you don't want to have them reaching for a certain reaction, to just be neutral, accepting, open, and loving. And this group did that so well. Every single one of us, all six of us, and the facilitators, were completely open, attentive, present, kept me safe, felt received. That was such a gift. For me to be able to speak for 5 minutes without anybody interrupting, to be able to go through the whole process of what came up, was so amazing for me. I felt so taken care of, so loved, so listened to. And that is what helped open up for everything that came up, which I will get to. So, what was fascinating for me is the complete kaleidoscope of what came up. Surprising. I mean, the variety was just like, oh my God. And the intensity was, I never imagined that much stuff could come up. Completely different from one session to another. Laughing and crying and the desire to not look inside, to the complete diving into, yes, I want to look deeper. From the aversion to the grasping, embarrassment and deep connection, confusion and revelation, unity and isolation, energized, tired, extremely fatigued, how the attention to the thinking mind got it all energized and it just wanted to fire off all this stuff. And also an activation of the gentle voice of wisdom. All that stuff came up. There were severe physical reactions to complete tension and screaming and jumping up and down, to complete relaxation, complete surrender. The body went into absolute relaxation. I mean, everything, the complete kaleidoscope is what I like to call it. Fascinating to me. And that brought up increased curiosity for me. What's going to be next? And also fear of what's going to be next? But my intention was always to go deeper, to get under what first came up, especially the thinking, get under that. And the only way to do that was to pause, get silent, and step back and ask again, what is here now? And really mean it, you know, with sincerity. What is here now? And then just wait for what revealed itself. So asking with true willingness to be honest and really look and really encourage us to look again, to really look. And so I kept finding myself looking, but it was a doing, so I couldn't go deep enough. And the doer, the little Shauna doer, is so active. So I asked, you know, is looking a doing or an allowing? And she confirmed that, of course, it's different for everyone, but for me, it was an allowing. So let that doer just go away. She doesn't need to do anything. And just allow, just sit back and allow. So that's how I learned to look, casting my attention inward and allowing whatever wanted to come up. Let that little doer go away, go do something else. And she's so active. So with the permission to say anything and describing it as best I could, so you don't just say resistance is here. What I would say, and it'd be different every single time, resistance feels like tension in my jaw, like tension in my neck. A little headache is fluttering here. There's a tension in my back. It's an emotional constriction. It feels like it's 50% resistance and maybe 50% willingness. You really described it to the best of your ability, and that helps express it. By expressing it, you release it. So an example also of the fear, because a lot of fear showed up in me, and most of the time it's an energetic fear that came up like this, but it also became pictures in my mind, and it morphed constantly. First, it was a black pool at the bottom of my foundation chakra. And then I kept looking, and it became layers. And I could see the layers had different shades of light in it. There was some light, some grays, some blacks. And those layers split apart, and attached to those were memories. And I said, they're like little pictures of the stories, of the memories I had that were attached to that. So I just allowed all those to come up. And I tried to describe each one. And what I noticed is the more time I spent looking at that fear and describing it, it started to go away. It started to dissipate. There were little black pieces of it that rolled off and scurried away real quick. I mean, just like a cockroach. It was hiding from the looking at it, just running off. And then another time, the fear was green. It was a green color, and it was moving around, and it kind of went up throughout my whole body instead of just the center of it. And again, it would hide or change or morph. Oh, another time it came up, it was like different squares with edges on it, and those edges were banging against each other and rolling around, and that was right in the pit of my stomach. And again, I could visually see it. I could feel it in my body, and I could see it. There's an extra looking or allowing for that to come up. So as I allowed that fear to come up, and just be whatever it wanted to be, I had to let go of all the definitions of what I thought fear was, because that limited it. And when I let go of those definitions, it exploded. It just exploded out and expanded out with all these points, all these dark points. And again, I felt it in the body. The body was like, whoa, lots of energy flowing through it. And I just allowed, breathe. Allow, be open to that. Can I be open to that? And I heard, no, I can't be you opened it up. But you do. You just sit with it. You just be with it. And then, you know, the bell rings 5 minutes. So I usually had to take a little bit of a deep breath and a pause. And the person listening says, thank you. Take a little breather. And this was really good practice. Focus on them, ask them the question, and then be totally silent, totally present, and just put all that out of your mind till next time. It was really a trip because especially the thinking mind wanted to keep going. It wanted to keep talking. It wanted to keep expressing. And you had to shut that down and become totally present without any distraction, totally present, listening. And that was fascinating. When other people said things that really resonated with me, I would ask for guidance. If you want me to talk about that, it'll come up at another time. Such beauty was shared in such this safe space, such beauty and turmoil and love and acceptance and trauma and peace. I mean, it's just amazing what these people shared, these women shared. Deeply, deeply gratitude for them. So another helpful realization for me was to really focus on that these things are coming up to be healed. So part of my intention was, do I want to be healed? What is here now that wants to be healed? And keeping that in my mind really helped me stay through the hard stuff. Just be there, because I know healing's on the other side. That was very helpful. So there were so many moments of discovery and realization. Some of the main ones for me is I now have a deeper and immediate connection with inner guidance. I mean, it's right there. Turn my mind and go right there. And I'm so grateful for that. There's not as much resistance, at least now, not as much resistance as there was before to just turn in and ask for help. It's right there, always, for all of us. There's been a huge increase in desire to not return to the old mental habits that's causing so much suffering. Oh my gosh, I saw clearly how much suffering they cause. Me, the world, and that's what gets put out into the creative principle. I do not want to do that anymore. So some of those old mental habits that I want to let go of completely is looking outside for anything. Looking outside for worthiness, looking outside for love, looking outside for guidance. That looking outside is such an habit, and there's nothing out there that's going to satisfy me or guide me for the greatest good of all, for all. So the increased desire to look inward and knowing that the inner teacher is right here all the time will help me step through that. Another old mental habit is not accepting everything as it is now. Stop fighting with reality, Shauna. We listened to an Audio Shanti video, and he gave the example of a brick wall. So how ridiculous is it to go up to a brick wall and say, I want you to be green. I don't want you to be where you are. I mean, that shows the absurdity, right, of trying to change a brick wall. So then I changed my perspective. Well, how about with people? How can I tell anybody to change or be different than they are? Who am I to think that they should be different than they are? Don't like it when people tell me to be different than I am, although I'm open to it, certainly open to it more than I used to be. But I love that visual that Adi Shanti in his video showed us about the brick wall. Just allow that brick wall to be. Stop fighting with reality. And then another old mental habit I want to let go of is projecting fear and the form of judgment upon others. And that was a big discovery for me. I know that I project stories onto others, but I actually saw that it was fear posing as judgment. So judgment is a type of fear for me. And projecting that out, I don't want to do that anymore. Bring it back here. Take responsibility for it. Allow it. Be gentle with myself. Allow myself to be gentle. Get in touch with my desire to let it go. Ask for help in letting it go. And just let every time that comes up, to see it for what it is and let it go. Every time I do that will weaken this want to project outwards. It will weaken it until it's gone. And then the freedom. Can you imagine the freedom? Woo! Yes! I can't wait. So part of the projection of fear also is the releasing an attack, the belief that I can be attacked or that I can attack anyone else. Releasing those attack thoughts. And attack thoughts also come from me. They come from fear. Fear that I have to project that feeling out because I can't stand to be with it. So this dyad process showed me how to stay with fear, how to hold it within and look at it, acknowledge it, let it be as long as it wants to be, and then it just dissipates. I don't do the dissipating. It just dissipates on its own as long as I look at it in honesty, openness, with the intent to heal. So another one of the big revelations for me was devotion to devotion. And I've talked about this before, but just realizing that devotion is one of the ways that I love to be with inner guidance, with each other. Like today, being devoted with Jesus. Whatever I'm doing in my practice, be devoted to it. And being devoted to it means my complete attention, my complete focus, my surrender, my willingness. Those are all aspects of devotion for me. Taking the time to meditate and really spend time in meditation, giving all my attention to the contemplation, like in Gentle Healing 3, giving all that attention to contemplation. In Gentle Healing 1, giving the time or more that Jesus asks to each question, each lesson, each day. That's devotion for me. And it's also increasing devotion in life. Like I love being out in nature. So just being devoted to nature, to life, in gratitude, loving life, loving the aliveness that we are, is all part of devotion for me. So another revelation was continual practice. And Jay talked about this in your homily today. You talked about this. There's no separation between life and practice. Our life is our practice. So I really wanted to make sure I walk out of the meditation and stay there. I want to continually practice. Everything that comes into awareness is for our healing, for my practice. There's no separation any longer. I no longer want to see a separation between life and practice. There's nothing else going on here. My teacher used to tell me that all the time. There's nothing else going on here. And you'd believe that there's really activities going on or festivities or there's something different. It's not. It's the only thing going on here. There's a sign in the gathering room downstairs at the retreat house that says, pray unceasingly. So this also speaks to me in continual practice. Pray unceasingly. And of course, finding the way to move in the world and allow spirit to move through me in the world is a way that I can continue that practice no matter what I'm doing. And I found that with silence. I think it's on this page, but that's okay. I found that with silence, that silence isn't something I do when I'm being just still. I can be in silence while moving. And that the movement from this dyad has slowed down. I've become much more still, much more present. And I had a really good example of this because when we went walking in downtown La Vita, I finally found a kitty, a kitten, a cat that would come up to me. All these cats are so scared around here. So I finally had a cat that was able to come up to me, and he came trotting up, and then he stops. And you know, with cats, you usually don't go after them. So I just got down, and he came up to me, and he was rolling all over me and rubbing up against me. So I put my hand out, and he put his hand in mine and rubbing me. You know how they rub their face, and he was just loving it. And then he comes over to the side, and he lies down against my arm, right? And he turns into all claws and teeth. He grabbed me. Thank God I had three layers on. And he grabbed me with all of his claws. He had to say, but he didn't. He was like, he was ready to shred me. And I just got really soft. I remembered being silent, soft, soft, soft. And I looked at him, and his eyes went, little slits. And I go, oh God, soften more. And I said, you got to let go. And I softened one more time, and he let go. Because he was going to shred me. But that's a perfect example. It was so poignant right then, because I was noticing how slowly and quietly I was able to move. And boy, it sure helped me then. Even with three layers, he would have shredded me. So, another revelation is continually turning to the present, which is right here, right now. Let go of the past. Let go of the bipolar cat. Jay typed in bipolar cat. We should put lithium is in order. Totally. Oh, thanks for the giggle. So continually returning to the present moment, and that's, I need to let go of thinking of the past. I'm more of a past person. Thinking of the past and not going to the future. I've let go of the future pretty well, but coming right back to here. And I've noticed that, of course, the judgments are all about the past, right? It's all about the past. Thinking we know things. And that's what's so important, to let go of that and be present in each moment. And I love that feeling now that I'm stiller, I'm quieter. I love that feeling. And that's where I get guidance. It's right here, right now. And that's where they tell us we're going to awaken. It's right here, right now. Awakening happens now. So another realization was talk less and listen more. Oh my gosh, the gift of being listened to and listening was such a gift. I want to continue to talk less and listen more. It's such a great gift of being completely present with someone, not thinking I know what they're going to say. Just allow everything to come out as they're saying it. And then even pause afterwards instead of jumping right in with what I think I want to say. And, you know, this feeling of wanting to talk comes up in my throat. Just swallow it. Let it go down until it's my time. And be completely listening with every fiber of my body. That's so amazing. I see the gifts that this listening gives, and I don't want to ever lose those. Listening's amazing. And it's pretty rare these days. Having an empty, empty mind when listening. So important. And I learned that because of the really 4 days of just being submerged in listening. And we were very respectful of each other, even in discussions of no interruptions, listening intently, because there's so much to be shared and discovered through each other. So part of being able to talk about whatever came up was to be in a safe and sacred space. And this was so apparent here, so apparent with everyone, that they would be completely safe in saying whatever came up. And this is absolutely essential, of course, having the confidence to say whatever you want and trust your sisters, who's all girls this time, all women. Trust your sisters and sisterhood that we know that would be kept in confidence. Just amazing to me. And another realization is to relax, relax, breathe, and relax again. I don't know how much I've noticed this body so tense all the time, and I realized in going within that that's a holding. It's a holding of the personality. Gotta take so much energy. Hold that personality in place and all the delusions and illusions that I hold within that personality takes so much energy to hold down. So relaxing the mind, the body, relaxing that, and that opens up so much to allow intuition to come through, to allow myself to be very relaxed around people, to enjoy life more. And if I don't give that holding the attention it takes, it starts to dissipate. It starts to naturally relax by itself. So again, the doer comes in and says, relax, relax, relax. Well, that's not going to work. Just let that doer go away. You're retired now. And just relax. Relax. Breathe. It's not about doing. So we did these wonderful walks too, out in nature, out around the lakes, and most of them were silent walks. A lot of times we'd go out by ourselves and just walk together. So it was amazing to just be with a group with that intention and walk out in nature in silence and just continue the silence with the intention. What is here now? And be open to what is here now out in nature. That was such a great balance to be outside and inside, both ways, inside and outside. So another revelation was really extended periods of community. I would be overcome with this feeling of peace, or a shaft of light would come down from above and come through me. Or great love, especially for the whole group that was there. This overwhelming love would just flood my being and just become speechless. There's nothing to say when you're in the presence of that kind of love, that kind of light. And a feeling of vitality and appreciation for life just coursed through my body. It was so amazing to feel the aliveness, because I've walked around most of my life not feeling that, not allowing the body to tell me what it wants to say. A lot of that was because I had to work really hard most of my life, and to get through a hard day's work, I had to ignore the body. So it came to the forefront how important it is to allow the body to talk to us. It's telling us what it needs, what we need, and it's telling us we're alive. Every experience is only because we're alive, which is life, which is awareness. That was really profound for me. So at the end of Thursday, Jacqueline and Anne helped us with some integration steps, how to integrate, go back out there. Some of us are all, how can we go back out there? We're completely open right now. And that's what Anne explained. You are wide open right now. Be very gentle with yourself. Follow your intuition about what you should do. Maybe it's different for each person, but be gentle. Don't be around, like for me, I couldn't have been around a lot of people at that time. And Jacqueline gave me a really good example. I came upstairs and she goes, Shauna, let's go do this. And it was like, that's what you got to be careful of. And I went, woo! And normally I would have been, yeah, Jacqueline, let's go do this. So it was a perfect example of how wide open I was. She showed me how wide open I was because that was a shock. It was shocking to my system. But it very intensely showed me how open I was. And also they suggested when going out with people who aren't into this to ask them what their week was like. Now they'll want to come and say, what was your week like? How was it like? And you say, it was really good. How was yours? What happened with you? Just put it on them so that you can listen. Go back into silent mode. Not think of becoming the person again right away. Be silent, listen, and just be in touch with all the wonderful gifts that you've discovered, and then integrate slowly into back out there. And another thing is, and Anne especially emphasized this because she's been through it, some of the effects of this week may not come right away. She said, be aware. Be on the lookout for stuff that is like, whoa, that's what that meant. Or, oh, here's that fear again. Or all kinds of examples of things that could happen at any time. It might take a while. Thanks, Jacqueline wrote. I'm glad I could be a demonstration of a chatter barrage. That's totally. Thank you, Jacqueline. Another wonderful thing that we did was we wrote letters to ourselves. So like I wrote 15 things that were revelatory for me, and we put them in a little letter and gave them to Jacqueline, and she's going to send them to us at a future date. So that's going to be fun because I immediately could only remember 10 of them. And also Anne suggested that we record ourselves, record our revelations in our own voice and then listen to it at a future date. She said, hearing your revelations, your discoveries from your deepest part of yourself in your own voice is just amazing. She said, it's very effective to hear it in your own voice. So I've done that and I will listen to that at some point. So let me see. Oh, and Anne was using a book called Enlightenment Intensive, Power of Dyad Communication for Self-Realization by Lawrence Knowes. So let me write that in there. Lawrence Knowes. And so he's not the one that came up with this process. That was started by Charles Brenner, like I said, in 1968, 50-year anniversary with this book. So they've done so much research that this two people sitting down, facing each other, taking turns, listening and sharing whatever came up is the most effective tool to getting this stuff up, getting it out, and getting it healed. So I would love to go one of those intensive enlightenment intensives with Jacqueline and Anne, whoever else wants to go. I guess they have them in New Mexico. Is that right, Jay? Yeah.
Yeah, it's about 4 hours south of where we live here. Drive.
Okay, gotcha. So I'm sure Jacqueline will let us know when those come up, because that'd be awesome.
You can just go to their website too, and anybody can look.
Okay, so enlightenment intensive. Yeah, that's right. I Googled it. So another thing to keep in mind are common blocks to enlightenment. So mental, emotional, and physical were things that they keep in mind as we started this dyad. The mental is such like the thought police. Oh, I can't say that. But that's exactly what we need to let go. The thought police, we're tiring those thought police. Even if it's socially unacceptable, whatever comes up has to be expressed so it can be gone. The false thoughts will be released only if we express them and let them go. Can't let it be undone what you can't express. It must be unblocked to heal. And another mental common block was preconceived ideas. And boy, did I see a lot of those. Preconceived ideas, let them go, see them, notice them, and let them go if they come up. Express them, but don't hold them and believe them as real. But express them, but notice they're there as a false belief. That would be another, for me, the preconceived ideas were in the past. They were from the past. And then another mental block is overlooking the obvious. And I saw this several times with me. We think it can't be, we can't express this thought like it's no big deal. Don't express it because it's obvious or mundane. Don't let any of them go by. Express everything. And then ask, who thinks it's unimportant? Sometimes the very things that your thinking mind thinks is important is exactly what I needed to look at. And they talked about tolerating. Don't tolerate or endure anything that comes up. Express it. If I skipped over this moment for another moment, that's not expressing it. And there's a reason. You know, our mind knows that there's things it doesn't want us to look at or that we ourselves don't want to look at. And that's what you skip over. Sometimes the very barriers that came up were made up of the thought police, the preconceived ideas, or overlooking the obvious. And I could feel the holding. I could feel the not wanting to speak. Sometimes it was like, oh no, another dyad. And that was when I just pushed through it. You sit down and you allow whatever comes up because that's what's hiding. It was hiding because it doesn't want you to see it. So some of the emotional blocks were reluctant to feel the emotions that came up. Oh my gosh, all kinds of emotions came up. I mean, it was just like, screaming, jumping up and down. We actually were able to get up and move during the dyad sometimes because it was so intense in the body. You had to move, get up and move. So you have to allow those feelings to come up. Face them, feel them, explore them, express them, all of it. Look at the feeling. Oh, but I also did find myself, the doer's back, go looking for emotions. The doer's back, I'm going to go find an emotion. So as soon as I noticed her back, I sent her to her retirement chair again. And just allow the emotions to come up. They'll come up if I allow them. And then there's physical blocks like headaches. Some of us got sick to our stomach, tired and sleepy. Others got energized and couldn't sleep. So stay with your intention and your question, what is here now? Open to all of it, every bit of it. Recognize it as the resistance that it is or could be or whatever it is. Sometimes it's better not to even define it. Just allow. So don't stop the contemplation. Both facilitators told us that. Don't stop. Thanks, Jay. You put in the link to the pathofheart.us for the Enlightenment Intensive with Jack and Katrine. Thank you. So when we're out walking, even if we're in discussions during meals, stay with that intention. Stay with the question. Be open to what is here now. Invite and open. Invite and open. So there's another block that bumping up against a block that feels like you almost have it or it's just right through the next door. Sit at that door. Just sit there with patience and intention and sit there at that door. If there's fear, you don't have to go through the door. Sitting at the door is amazing. That's enough with your intention, invitation, and openness to just sit there and allow. So one of the other experiences I had was emptiness. I'd go in and look and there wouldn't be anything there. And this, the inner experience of emptiness was disconcerting. It was like I should be finding something, and I let that go. And the emptiness became a container. It was expanded, a container of everything and everyone. This emptiness was beautiful and frightening. It was vast and here right now. And it was it's actually a place where I could feel a lack of love, but it's the very place where I needed to go deeper to discover love, if that makes sense. It was so hard to put that part into words. But the place where I felt the weakest is where I found my most strength. I think that was one of the biggest things that I took out of that, especially towards the end of the diet, was go to those weak spots. Go to those places I don't want to look, because that's where I find my strength. That's where you weaken all the stuff that I don't want anymore. It's an amazing process. So I just want to summarize that this is an amazing process. I encourage all of you to do this process at some point, because the revelations in your connection with spirit and your connection with each other is just off the charts. And you're going to go through some tough stuff. You could very well go through some very, very tough stuff. But it's worth it to break on through to the other side, as Jim Morrison saying. Break on through to that other side, because it is worth every minute of it. So thank you guys for being here. I'm a little early. I hope that's okay. Thank you so much, you guys. I know what. Did anybody have any questions, or Kate, or anybody want to say anything? No? Okay. Thank you, guys. I love you all for being with me on Easter. Thank you.